Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. This week, the so-called killer cop, as some media outlets have stated it, Derek Chauvin, was convicted of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, second-degree manslaughter for killing George Floyd. In light of the 9-plus-minute video showing Chauvin's horrible conduct towards Floyd, the conviction of Chauvin was hoped for and celebrated in the United States and all over the world, including by many liberal and conservative outlets, with a claim that the American legal system is the best in the world and that it works, or that it begins to work. However, that statement is in question now due to mistakes made in the court proceedings and inappropriate political intervention. First, legal experts tell us there should have been a change of venue. Then, the jury should have been sequestered throughout the trial. Thirdly, politicians should have kept their mouth shut. And fourthly, in order to preserve a court record, the jurors should have been asked individually by the judge whether they heard certain outlandish comments by certain activist politicians. While the trial was going on, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, no stranger to controversy, encouraged unrest and possibly violence when she said that protesters should get more confrontational if there is no guilty verdict. The judge stated this to Chauvin's defense attorney. "I'll give you that Congresswoman Waters may have given you something on appeal that may result on this whole trial being overturned. I wish elected officials would stop talking about this case, especially in a manner that is disrespectful to the rule of law and to the judicial branch and our function. I think if they want to give their opinions, they should do so in a respectful way and in a manner that is consistent with their oaths to the Constitution, to respect a coequal branch of government. Their failure to do so, I think, is abhorrent." Now, defense attorney and law professor Alan Dershowitz told Newsmax the following. "What was done to George Floyd by Officer Chauvin was inexcusable, morally. But the verdict is very questionable because of the outside influences of people like Al Sharpton and people like Maxine Waters. Their threats and intimidation and basically saying, if you don't convict on all the charges, the cities will burn and the country will be destroyed, seeped into the room, the jury room, because the judge made a terrible mistake by not sequestering the jury. And I think it should be reversed on appeal." He went on to say, "Every juror in that room knew about those threats. And when they sit and deliberate, they have to be saying to themselves, consciously or unconsciously, if I were to render a verdict other than a murder verdict, what the consequences will be for me, my family, my friends, my business. That should never ever be allowed to seep into a jury room. So I have no real confidence that the verdict, which may be correct in some ways, was produced by due process and the rule of law, rather than the influence of the crowd and the politicians, I might add." The New York Post published the following article by Andrew McCarthy, a former federal prosecutor. "Congresswoman Maxine Waters checked every box. As a federal representative from a California district, she traveled to another sovereign state, Minnesota, to interfere in its judicial system. Her rabble-rousing was done in violation of a curfew that the elected mayor had imposed. President Biden waited until the jury was deliberating to make the stunning public statement that he is praying for Chauvin to be convicted. The fact that the jury was sequestered during deliberation is no excuse. Biden is a lawyer and former Senate Judiciary Committee chairman who well knows that sequestration does not make jurors impervious to prejudicial publicity. It doesn't matter, he goes on to say, how you hoped Chauvin's trial would end. Due process is essential if we are to hold the guilty accountable, including police officers who abuse their power. Chauvin's conviction now has a real chance of having the result overturned, because public officials who know better have recklessly undermined the integrity of the trial. Now, what about the statement that the system works, that justice has been served? But it depends what you mean by system and justice. You know, a violation of due process is not justice. Conducting a flawed and unfair trial is not justice. Generally speaking, every time I hear a comment made that the system works, I must think of the people who were convicted and spent years in jail until the evidence proves that they have been innocent. You see, I have been practicing law for a long, long time, and I know whereof I speak. Take Archie Williams as an example. He appeared on America Got Talent in 2020, 1 year after he was freed from prison after serving 36 years for a rape which he didn't commit, and the DNA evidence showed that. Did the system work for placing an innocent black man in jail for 36 years? You may say, oh, the system worked because he ultimately was freed. Well, what kind of a system, what kind of a justice is that? Man's legal systems don't work. And man's justice does not equal God's justice. For instance, in the United States, selectively presented evidence where facts may be suppressed for technical or legal reasons as permitted by the courts may not necessarily lead to the rendering of a righteous judgment. In other words, facts are not being presented to the jury because of some technical reasons. Plea bargaining may not either. In other words, you agree to having committed a lesser crime, even though you might be totally, completely innocent, but you're being told if you don't, then you are going to be convicted because you may not be able to prove your innocence. You see, the Bible commands not to convict a person unless the accusation is supported by the testimony of at least two witnesses. And you can read that in John chapter 8 and verse 16, and also in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 6 to 7. The reason is you have to be able to cross-examine those witnesses to see whether they are actually telling the truth. Circumstantial evidence has never been looked as sufficient by God. You see, circumstantial evidence, and most cases are ruled upon and decided upon because of circumstantial evidence, that's all subject to interpretation. It's all subject to the opinions of experts, and one expert says this, and the other expert says exact opposite conclusions and makes those. You see, that is the problem with our legal system. True judgment, true justice, when the system will work, that will only be achieved when God rules this world, when Jesus Christ has returned. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7 says this, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, to establish it with judgment and with justice forever. And Isaiah chapter 11, verses 3 to 4 say, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, no hearsay, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. The implication is that's not happening today, but it's going to happen soon when Christ returns, and let us pray that that time will come soon. How soon? We have prepared a free booklet. When and how will Christ return? Now, this booklet answers many of your questions as to when Jesus Christ's return is imminent. So thank you very much for listening, and this is Norbert Lenk for the Standing Watch program.